dance like cattle through our fantasies and fears. They move us through illusion and confusion of the mind, and by changing subtle meanings to the words between the lines. It's the news behind the news and the methods you can use. It's a blueprint and the plan they all rely on. And it's written in the protocols, the learned elders of Zion. They'll tell you it's a forgery, they'll tell you it's a fake, that some anti-Semite wrote it for the money that he'd make. It's been slanderized and demonized and labeled racist hate by the same mistake that claimed to its creation. Now I'm not here to try to argue if it's false or if it's true, if the author was a commie or the likes of you know who. What I'm really trying to tell you and to get across to you is it's a blueprint to the downfall of our nation. That's occurring in the land. There's a road to communism. There's a global master plan. You'll never read about it in a book of history, cause it's been hidden from the masses to control their destiny. It's the news behind the news and the methods that they use. It's the blueprint and the plan they all rely on. And it's written in the protocols of the learned elders of Zion.
And we're back, and you're listening to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers, and I've got some men on the line. I've got Tim on the morning. I've got Tim there. Good morning, Tim.
Good morning. I'm here. Good morning.
And I got Will here. Good morning, Will.
Good morning.
And we're going to start off with a word of prayer this morning. Will, why don't you kick us off with a word of prayer?
Dear Lord in heaven, thank you for the opportunity for us to get together this morning, Lord, and we pray that our conversation will be pleasing to you, oh God, and I pray that you will just direct us in this conversation to suit your will, and Lord, that we will glorify you during this time. We ask it in your name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, sir. And, folks, we thank you for being here this morning. I'm going to start off with a sound clip this morning, just because I know that, like that song that I started off with, that's something that you're not going to hear just about anywhere. But you will hear it on this network, and I ran across a clip that I wanted to play this morning, and I think that this explains a lot. This is from an interview with Pastor Peters, Jack Moore, and Earl Jones. I'm going to go ahead and play that now.
Because they are always talking about us producing a religion of hate and talking about hate. when the only thing what we're doing is exposing the truth. We're not sitting here talking about the Jews because we hate the Jews and because we wish them any harm. We're doing it to try and show our Christian brethren what is happening to them, you see.
Well, the scriptures do say, Jack, have no fellowship with them who works at darkness, but rather expose them.
That's right. Yes, have no fellowship with the unfruitful ranks of darkness, but rather expose them.
And I thought that was a pretty good explanation. And what'd you gentlemen think of that?
Pretty dead on.
Yeah. I think that's exactly it. Yeah, too.
And I think that that's one of the things that people forget. It's you know, I've talked to a lot of people, and, you know, we've been talking. I think it just ties in with what we've been doing with the Dragon Slayer newsletter recently on exposing the enemies and who our enemies are. And people, a lot of times there's a lot of people out there that have that truth, but they don't want to talk about it because it is something that, you know, it's kind of not kosher to talk about. And I think that that explains, you know, one of the why we're doing what we're supposed to be doing is because it is exposing those unfruitful deeds of darkness, and we're commanded to expose them. And if we've got that truth, we've got to continue to put that truth out and continue to wake people up. And that's one of the things that we really strive to do here on this network and on this program, and, you know, feel privileged to be able to do that. And, you know, there's a lot of stuff that's going on. And I know we're going to switch gears right here, right now, but, you know, this, so many things that are going on in the world, and we'll start off with, you know, what's going on over in France. France directing its citizens to become preppers as it prepares for nuclear war. That was one of the headlines, and got that article posted up on the Newswire as well. You can go to www.sfawbn.com and read about it there. But man, there's a lot of stuff coming out on that. What do you guys think of what's going on over there?
Well, I know.
I think.
Go ahead, Tim.
Go ahead, Will. No,
go ahead.
I think it's very interesting that, you know, as Christians, we're commanded, it's kind of a recurring theme, biblically speaking, that we're supposed to be ready in and out of season. That's kind of the prepper mindset for everything, or it used to be the Boy Scout kind of mindset. I mean, a lot of people accuse me of being a Boy Scout all the time, but, you know, the point is not in a bad way, just these days they've kind of altered the perception there. But the point is you know, when you look around the world, and that's part of the prepared battle plan of God's people. I mean, we're commanded to be ready in season and out of season, I think.
Yeah, along those lines, I mean, as far as being prepared, that was how it was for the majority of the generations, especially in this country, of storing up during the good times to be prepared for the lean times. It's only been in recent history that, you know, this whole idea of preppers being crazy and kooky and, you know, waiting for the end of the world came about. And, you know, there have been much maligned in the media. It is interesting to see a country, a major country like France, trying to prepare their people. And Macron over there, the last few weeks, maybe a month or so, he's been very active in talking about war and nuclear war. And it is interesting timing that you know, they're trying to roll out this essentially prepper manual to every citizen of the country by the summer. Just makes me wonder, you know, what do they know that we don't know, maybe?
Yeah.
Exactly. That was my thoughts on the whole thing was, you know, what's going on there and what's going on over there in the news that it's not going on that we don't know about. You know, they're masters at covering that stuff up, and censorship also. So it just makes a lot of stuff makes you wonder. But I mean, to me, it just ties in with the scripture of wars and rumors of wars. And when you're telling your citizens to, you know, to prepare for nuclear warfare, and you going through, I mean, they're telling them the supplies that they need to have in their house, and the food and the water and the, you know, water purification and, you know, shelter, you know, the different things, which, you know, I'm all for it. Everybody should have a survival guide like that in their house and be prepared for things like that. I mean, and, you know, I'll be the first you know, wanted to say that I really believe that. I know that there's people out there that, you know, just, you know, say that, you know, I'll rely on God and God's going to take care of me. I believe that wholeheartedly, but I believe that our Heavenly Father gave us a brain and we need to use it also. And, you know, with the things that we've seen just happen across this country, from these fires to these hurricanes to floods and to, you know, natural disasters that, you know, God is in control of, to see these things happen and just supply chains that have shut down and where grocery stores can't get food in and out. I think that it's, you know, it's a very wise decision to, you know, prepare for some of these things. You know, I'd rather have it and not need it than need it and not have it. And that's kind of the mentality that I have.
Jason, yeah, I also think that whole mentality of let go, let God is part of the reason why we're in the mess that we're in as a society. That, you know, we've lost that fact that God gave us a brain and two hands because he expects us to figure things out and work. And that's something that, just, I hate to say it this way, but, I think the mentality of let go and let God and not actually working for anything is part of what has made us so reliant on the government as well. That, we're looking for that immediate handout instead of working for it ourselves. I hope that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, and I think that's what, you know, and it's a mentality that's come in through, you know, the churches, and it's that, you know, I'll fly away mentality is, you know, I'll fly away. Well, you know, we sing a different tune here, and it's, you know, I'll fire away. It's quite different, but I really believe that that's what we're supposed to be. And how can you, if you can't take care of yourself, how can you take care of your neighbor be a blessing to those that are around you? That's my two cents worth. But it's on my heart to, you know, to prepare not just to be able to take care of myself, but also other people and those that are around me. Never know what's going to happen, and I really believe that it's, you know, you freely give, you freely receive, and that's what we are called to do, is to be those ministers and to be that light unto this dark world. And, you know, and everybody should prepare differently. I'm not saying that there's, you know, the perfect thing to do, or you have to do this or you have to do that. And I believe that that's when you pray for the guidance of the Holy Spirit, and, you know, God might put on your heart one thing where, you know, he might put on Will's heart one thing, and Will needs to prepare for this in this area. And that might be not even necessarily for him and his family, but for maybe people around him. Whereas Tim might feel like he's supposed to be doing something else and be led to do that. And I think that it's just it's wise and it's prudent just to be listening and to pray and to ask for that guidance in that direction. And accept the answers when you get it. I know this last year, one of the things that was really on my, something that I wanted to do for me and my family was put up extra firewood. And we spent a lot of time putting up firewood, splitting it, stacking it, you know, put way more than we would use in 1 year, 2 years, or even 3 years. But, you know, had enough of it where we had, you know, people, we had a fairly, fairly mild winter, but it was, had people that needed, that were injured and were not able to get out and get their firewood put up due to a broken leg or some health issues. And we're able to share that with the neighbors. And, you know, that was a blessing to be able to do that. And if I wouldn't have, you know, been stocked up and we hadn't worked hard on it, I wouldn't have been in that position to be able to do that. So, praise the Lord for that.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Go ahead, Tim.
Well, I think that a lot of times the pastor used to say it, some of these Christians, are so heavenly minded, they're no earthly good, you know, and we look at what we're called to do. And, you know, we're planted here now. We're to occupy. That was one of our orders, our standing orders from our leader, from our head, is to occupy. And occupy is not a that's a military term. I think it's been said before, but it requires It requires effort. It requires work. It requires thought. And a lot of times we just kind of run around and, you want to turn it all over. What we should do is measure what we're capable of handling in the event of crises or in the event of circumstances that are obviously beyond our control, not beyond our Father's, but the ability to respond to that in a needful and constructive sort of way is kind of a yardstick that we need to use. And yes, our faith saves us. God definitely can make up our shortfall, and they all dovetail together, you know, as far as what we do, what our neighbor does. More than one of us is a lot stronger than just one. So, one with Christ on your side is a force to be reckoned with beyond, you know, mortal understanding.
Jason, I had another comment just thinking about preparing. And you're right, Tim. You know, we are occupiers, and that is a military term. And along that mindset is, you know, we need provisions. We need to make sure that we can be those good spiritual soldiers and be able to provide for ourselves and for our family. We're commanded to do so in Scripture. But the mindset of being prepared goes so much further than just having tangible things. It is, you know, first and foremost, we need to be prayed up and right with our God. But also in the worldly realm, part of being prepared is as simple as knowing your neighbors. Knowing what their trades are, what they do for a living, what their mindsets are. And that is something I think we fail a lot to do, is to get to know our community, to be a part of our community, get to know our neighbors and the strengths and weaknesses there. And I would really encourage folks to do that. Get to know your neighbors. You would be surprised at either good or bad of what you have living close to you. And but I think in the end, that's a very important part of preparing.
Amen. I agree 100%. And, you know, sometimes just it goes a lot farther than that. It's like if you need a tool or if you need something, you know, worked on, mechanic work, you know, housing worked, whatever it is. I mean, it's you got somebody close by that has skills, and knowing your neighbor and knowing their skills is huge. In times of need, it is definitely very, very important. And we kind of got off on this, and I'm just going to keep going with it. But one of the things that I know I've seen it, and it seems like it comes in waves too, is, you know, and people get up in arms about what they're going to do with the firearms and what they're going to do with the ammo, and if there's, you know, going to be an ammo shortage. And it's one of those. I've seen so many people that have, when you can't get an AR-15 or the price goes to $2,000, that's when they want to buy one. That's not the time to buy one. I'm just trying to tell people. And when ammunition's a dollar a round, is not the time to be buying ammo. Right now, I was at a store, and best prices I've seen in years. I'm 22 ammos available, all calibers pretty much. I haven't seen a whole lot of, or hardly any 7.62x39, but as far as your other major calibers, 223, 308s, 22s, 9mm, 45, 40s, everything is available and good prices, really good prices. I know I bought some 9mm the other day, and it was, like 20 cents around. And I thought that was a really good price. It might have been 22 cents around, you know, by the time you pay your taxes and all that kind of stuff on it. But it was very, very, very affordable. And so I just want to put that out there. I don't want people to, you know, be scared. And I don't like it when I've seen people in the past that have run out and dumped a whole bunch of money on a credit card. I don't think that that's wise at all either. And don't advocate that by any means. But it's one of those things that it just want to tell people that prices are good and stuff is available. And I don't see that happening in the future. I think that there is going to be some hiccups in the supply chains on the ammunition. I think that there is going to be another, whether it's orchestrated or natural, I don't know. But I do believe that there is going to be an ammo shortage, and that the prices, you're going to see prices skyrocket. And that's just, I'm not saying thus says the Lord or anything like that. I'm not not trying to prophesy anything, but I believe that that's what is going to happen. What's your thoughts on that, gentlemen?
Well, I think one of the purchases is better than panic. I mean, don't panic buy, like you said. I think we need to progressively build our whatever you want to call it, supply line there, so that, you know, we're kind of ready for everything. And I think that's a great statement. And you're right, these prices are as good as we've seen in a long time.
One of my favorite quotes when it comes to guns or firearms is from Clint Smith, who was from Thunder Ranch, the guy who started Thunder Ranch. And he was asked by a reporter one time why he was so afraid that he felt like he needed to carry a gun all the time. And his response was, "I'm not afraid. I carry a gun all the time." And my thought on that is, we're not supposed to live in a spirit of fear. We're supposed to be anxious for nothing. And that kind of goes back to the theme of what you were talking about, Jason, as far as God giving us a brain for a reason. And I think all through the Bible, like Tim said, we're given story after story and example after example of storing up and preparing. And I think one of the greatest ways to fight fear is to avoid it altogether and don't fall into the trap of the enemy of panic and anxiety and paranoia. And you do that by doing exactly what you said, Jason. While times are good, take advantage of the good. And when times become bad, you will have nothing to be fearful for. You will not have that anxiousness of the paranoia of I need to go because you've already gone. And that's a good way to sit back and know that you've done the right thing. So I guess that's my comment on that.
And I think good comment. I was and I was shocked about how many of these leftist I don't know, I want to call them leftist liberal libtard gun clubs and organizations are popping up. I didn't even know about that until just recently, and my brother was telling me about it. They started several up here in Colorado, and these guys are starting groups, basically Facebook groups and Reddit groups, and getting together with like-minded libtards to go do training and stuff together and get out and shoot and become gun owners. So that's and that was a new one on me, and I looked it up, and it's like, wow, okay, yeah, these guys are getting together. They're buying their tactical gear and all that kind of stuff, which is just typically something that you did not see coming from the left, in history. I mean, maybe it's something that I just didn't know about, but I know that there was a lot of stuff that was new that I had seen when I started digging into it and doing some research. And I thought that was, you know, interesting, especially in the light of why is there so much talk from the left about civil war going on?
Kind of a coincidence, huh?
Sure seems like it. Seems like it a lot.
There's a lot of talking heads out there that are liberals that are carrying on about, like you said, civil war and about, we've got to fight for our rights, you know, or fight, you know, for what we're going to get. And it's like, I think when we look at all that, it's there's definitely one of the articles that I came across, and it was kind of on a more or less conservative write-up, but they were talking about these judges that are out there doing basically a coup against against all of the things that are going on, and they're appointees. But the guy writing the article, I mean, you know, sometimes you read through this stuff and you get this background feel, or you begin to. But all he could talk about was our democracy, our democratic society. And it's like, these things are the whole premise of his article as regards that. The judge issue was correct. The part that's not correct is the fact that we don't live in a democracy. We live in a republic. And if people don't understand that, their whole premise of what's going on here is skewed in a way that's really not good. And, so it's does he need educated? Or my question is he need educated, or is he working for the other side trying to skew the whole vibe of what's going on there? You know, there's a lot of times when you wonder about those sort of things.
Good point. We got a caller on the line. We're going to go to the phone lines real quick, and we'll say hello, caller.
Hey, Jay, Sister Warren calling in. I called in about on the program Well, you're talking about, you know, the Lord said, occupy till I return. And, you know, he said, that's a military term. You know, I'm retired military, so I was in artillery mostly. But I was thinking what we really need, you know, in the Lord's Army is, you know, basic training. Then after basic training, they go into what they call, you know, individual training. And I was thinking about Pastor Peters with his milk messages. That'd be like basic training. Then we got a lot of meat people out there. You know, I don't know what, how my man, you know, man's army stuff would relate to the Lord's, but I believe that I was called to be an evangelist. So it says in Ephesians, some are called to be this, some are called to be teachers, some ministers. And we all need some kind of training, you know, to be in the Lord's army. And so I'm going to pray that, you know, we get that training.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
God bless, Joe.
God bless. Thanks, Warren. Yeah.
Great call.
Yeah. Great. Good point, Warren. Appreciate that. And well, and I think that that's what we're doing is when we're talking about some of these things and when we're talking about this and that, it's you know, it to me it's training, it's sharpening our minds, looking at you know, iron sharpening iron, and I think that that's what we're one of the things that we're here to do. And it's, you know, it's coffee time. We're sitting around having coffee, talking, sharing different things and, you know, trying to not just, educate people out there, but educate ourselves and, you know, think about different scenarios and things that we need to be aware of too. 'Cause, you know, I got a lot of stuff that I need to learn and, pay attention to. And, that's the way that, you know, a lot of this stuff happens and how you get information and you get knowledge is when you share stuff with other people. And you know, one thought might lead to another thought. And you know, it's just that's the way that the Holy Spirit works also. So praise the Lord.
Jason, I got one more comment on what we were talking about before we switch gears.
Yes, sir.
It just came to mind. I want to share it. I was sitting here thinking of how our enemy works, and one of the things that our enemy is a master of is human psyche, human psychology, knowing what buttons to push and when to push them. And over time, over history, we can look back, and it may be different names, different faces, different places, but it's the same old playbook. It's the same old temptations and the same old driving factors that push our people. And I was thinking about cycles, and I was thinking about Richard Kelly Hoskins' book, War Cycles and Peace Cycles. And I'm a huge believer in cycles as far as our culture and our country. And typically you can look, I don't care if it's the clothes we wear, the music we listen to, 30 to 50 years is what we see as far as cycles coming back and forth in our culture. And you were talking about these leftist communists, gun clubs, and it got me to thinking that we're about 50 years away or 50 years in the past from all of the left wing Marxist groups, you know, the Black Panthers and all of that kind of nonsense that was going on in the mid-70s and late-70s, even up into the early 80s. And it occurred to me, I wonder if this is the same playbook, because at that time America was starting to move more toward the right. We saw Ronald Reagan get elected. The country started going back more to some family values. We were leaving the hippie generation and the free love generation and moving more into a conservative America again. And we were met with that. We were met with armed leftist militants that were wreaking havoc. And just like we see Tesla dealerships catching on fire and crap like that across the country, you know, they were firebombing buildings and doing the exact same thing. And I just wonder if we're starting to see the same play. It's just at a different time with different faces. Just a thought.
Yeah, and that's a good thought. I was looking at some of these pictures of some of these people that they've been arresting for starting these fires and vandalizing these Tesla dealerships. And the mugshot photos were just absolutely hilarious. People that were crying and these people that were, you know, these trannies, they used to call it, you know, dressing in drag, and then they turned into these trannies. And I mean, it's just it's disgusting. And it's like, I mean, wow. Yeah, I don't even want to waste any time on it. But you see a man dressed as a woman and a woman's dressed with a 5 o'clock shadow. And it's like, oh, my gosh, how can anybody find that remotely attractive. You see something like that, it's like, oh, I just threw up in my mouth again. It's bad. But that's what they are, is they're disgusting, and they need to be told that they're disgusting. And it's like anytime I see something like that and I'm around my children, I mean, I tell them that is disgusting. I mean, and that is wrong, and that is, you know, sin. And some people are worried about offending. Well, it's offensive to me to see that crap out in public or even anywhere. So anyway, we'll move on. I know that it is officially spring, and spring is here. Praise the Lord for that. I love the changing of the seasons. It is an exciting time. And I think that it's, you know, to me, it's always, I always get this bug and just want to start doing some spring cleaning outside. From weather gets nice, you can spend more time outside, you get time in the sunshine, cleaning out. And I believe that that's, you know, just because I think that, you know, because of Passover and the Passover coming, which is April 2nd. And we'll be having a Passover service from the LaPorte Church of Christ, but it's cleaning out that old leaven and cleaning out your house and doing that spring cleaning, and very exciting time.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a whole list. Mine keeps getting longer right now, but absolutely. And it's just invigorating to go outside and feel that. I always notice the difference in the way it feels when you go outside in versus the winter time. You know, you go out in the morning in that spring sun, it's just an invigorating feeling. It really, really gets you up and running. So at least it does me.
Yeah, absolutely. Ecclesiastes 11:7 says, the light is pleasant, and it is good for the eyes to see the sun. And that's one of the things that we experience with the, you know, with springtime coming is, you know, there's more light and we can spend more time in that light. So, and we know that that, you know, produces vitamin D in the body, and that's good for the immune system. And, you know, that's one of the things, the number one things that was you know, anti-COVID was vitamin D3. And I think that it's interesting is you have that's predominantly when flu season ends, is when spring comes in, and it's because people are getting more light and their vitamin D3 levels go up in their bodies, and it fights off the flu. So I think that that's, you know, just awesome to see how God created those things and put those things into place.
There was recently a study that came out of England where it was a neurophysicist guy that did some studying on this, and he came up with the thesis that the more time you spend in the sunshine, the less depressed you're going to be. And I just kind of wanted to say, well, duh. I wonder how much money we had to spend that he came up with the thesis of you feel more happy, you're less depressed, and you get a good night's sleep when you're out in the sun working all day. And I thought, you know, that seems like a complete waste of academic time there. Let's try to figure out something that we don't already know.
I don't have a degree, and that kind of goes, well, I was just going to say the same thing. When you go up, you're energized and you want to get to going, you know, and it really gets you up and running. So, and I have no degree, but it's right.
Well, going along with that thesis, I know when I go out in the morning and I start working in the garden or mowing grass, and I'm out all day in the sunshine sweating, I do sleep better at night. And it didn't cost me one single dollar of grant money to figure that out. I just, a lot of hard work and sweat.
Yeah. Well, and all right, we'll switch gears again. Going on, there are a couple different things to talk about. There was a headline that was shared with me, and it says Israeli extremist rabbis instruct soldiers heading to Gaza to kill all their children. And you know, that's that doesn't seem like that's normal. Normal talk for what you're talking about when you're going into warfare. And you know, we're talking about an absolute different type of enemy here, but, I don't know if either one of you had any thoughts on that.
Well, there's a lot of information out there right now about different things that are going on over there. And, you know, we have, it kind of goes back to that Ukraine war thing. There's wars and rumors of war. We got the Ukraine thing going on. We got the thing going on over there in Israel. And I use that term extremely loosely because I think that there's a lot of factors at play that aren't we. But the International Court just came out and said that they were occupying that land illegally and they should give it back. And I went by that, and I don't really care about international. Usually that word preceding something kind of lessens this wallop to me as far as what goes on. But the fact is there's a lot of places in the world that are looking around going, this isn't right. You know, I mean, this is wrong. And women and children are traditionally left out of those sort of situations, I believe. That's my thought.
Well, and the thing that we got to realize is a lot of those guys have a lot of influence over those soldiers, too. And, you know, when they're telling them that go in there and don't just kill them, but kill them, kill, you know, the women, kill the children and wipe them out, extinguish them, that there's a lot of people that are listening to these rabbis and that's what they're doing. And, you know, it's a real deal. So it just, but to me, it just is more of like, you know, are we like that sound clip that I started off with? You know, we're trying to expose them for what they are doing and what they're saying. And this is what they're doing. This is, you know, this is who they are.
I'm taking the mindset or the opinion of, you know, something that Tim just said, and to piggyback on what you said, Jason, is I'm thankful that these rabbis are coming out and saying this out in the public for the world to see. I think like Tim is saying, there's more and more people saying what's going on over there. You know, you have an international court ruling that Israel is occupying the Gaza Strip illegally. There are more and more people saying this is just a genocide is all this is. To me, that shows the tide is turning. You're seeing more and more media coverage of like these rabbis saying, kill these children, kill these women, you know, and talking about, this is preemptively killing soldiers if you kill their children. You know, this is one more soldier we won't have to fight in the future. I think that's good.
I think it is too.
I don't think the premise of killing children is good, but I think, you know, publicly having this reported that this is the enemy. You know, this is what they believe. This is what their religious leaders are instructing their soldiers to do. I think that's a positive. I think that's a good thing. To me, it goes back to the lie and the fallacy of we serve the same God, right? The Judeo-Christian church, that's what they want everyone to believe. And I think that these folks that are a part of those Judeo-Christian churches, you know, hopefully they read something like this or hear something like this and take a moment to pause and say, yeah, that doesn't jive with my God. And maybe it will open up their eyes so that they will indeed see the truth. So I look at it as a positive, Jason.
I do too, and I think that it's one of the questions that's being asked is, you know, how could God's chosen people be doing something like this or be saying these things? And then, you know, the next question is the thought that pops into their head is, well, maybe these aren't the God's chosen people, and you know, when that, you know, after those thoughts start coming into somebody's head. The next question is, who is God's chosen people? And if it's not these guys over here, then who is it and where are they? So I think it's encouraging also, and I'm excited about that because I think that that's one of the things that it gives us an opportunity of those of us that understand and know who the true Israel people are to share that and to get the information out. And so I think that is all exciting stuff. And I think that they're exposing themselves and they're, exposing themselves for just, you know, the wickedness and how evil they really are too. So praise the Lord for that.
Indeed. Praise the Lord.
And then, I mean, there's, you know, and we've had we talk about devastations and people. I mean, it's been happening over in Africa for quite some time. And, you know, it's genocide over there, what they're having. Basically, you know, there's so much stuff that is actually happening over there. And I was going through, and I was actually going to try to download some clips. If anybody finds any good clips on anything from, you know, South African news and stuff like that on the genocide and stuff that's been taking place over there, I'd appreciate it if you'd send them to me. Because I found some the other day, and it was just a matter of minutes or, you know, within an hour, and they were taken down, and I could not find them again. So it was the censorship is real, and I know that that's one of the things that they're really trying to keep from our eyes is what is happening over there. So, you know, those white South Africaners are some really good. Those are our people. And, you know, we need to be praying for them, too. They're dealing with a lot of the censorship and stuff that's going on. But I'll go back to you, man.
And Jason, in many instances, Jason, you know, you were talking about the Afrikaners being our people. There's a huge segment of that population that knows that they're Israel. You know, there's about 3 million whites in South Africa, and coming out of the Reformed, the Dutch Reformed Church, those people realize that they are Israel. They know the truth. And I think that is right before our eyes. You know, we're seeing the persecution of the church there. And I think part of the attack on them is just not that they're white. It's that they're white and they know who they are. And that can't be tolerated.
Yeah. They do not want that truth getting out and becoming mainstream. So they will do whatever they can do to censor that. And if it means killing 3 million of them, they do it.
Yes, sir.
So anyway, I did want to, somebody texted me. I wanted to give the phone number out again on 970. Not again. I didn't give it out to begin with. 970-224-4203. That's 970-224-4203. And I go back to you, man.
Well, I'd like to jump back to that French preparedness manual thing. And one of the other things that's going on over there that's really noteworthy is that they've got a major surge of seismic activity at, I don't know how you say this word, so I'll probably butcher it, but Campi Flegre over there near Naples, which is, it's a huge volcano. Basically, they've got it on a could-go-off at any moment type thing. And it's a super volcano in Europe. So that could play into the French preparedness thing as well, too, because that's a big volcano like that's kind of like a nuclear bomb going off. So just to throw that out there for a of interest kind of. Comment.
Yeah, that is interesting. And I think that there's a lot of, you know, a lot of stuff. I mean, that's like what we're talking about. You just never know. You never know what it could be. And, you know, maybe it is a volcano, but I think that God can cause a volcano to erupt probably easier than any group of scientists could.
Yeah. You know, along those lines, I find it interesting because there is a ton of talk that Trump is going to pull the United States out of NATO. And, you know, obviously the talk is, will NATO exist if the United States pulls out? And I think that's what Macron is doing, is he's leveraging himself to become the default head of NATO. And that's why he has all this nuclear talk. And he's working really hard and beating the bushes to try to keep that going. And in light of what Tim just said, you know, it's possible that maybe that God is saying, no, we're not going to do that.
And when you look at the financial aspects of NATO, we pretty much carry, I mean, as a nation, the U.S. has pretty much carried the financial cost and impetus of it from in my lifetime. I mean, it's like, so if the U.S. were to exit from it, that would kind of leave them with a car that's out of gas, so to speak. Jump right on now, guys.
We've had some interesting stuff happen out in the White House and with this border czar. Will, why don't you tell us a little bit about Tom Homan? And there's a lot of people that just don't even know who he is. And give us a little bit of who he is and what he's doing.
Yeah, Tom Homan, he's the border czar. He was appointed border czar by President Trump. His career, he's a no-nonsense guy. He was a a cop in New York. That's how he started his career. He eventually ended up in the Border Patrol, initially up on the Canadian border, and he found himself in supervisory positions as he progressed. He ended up down in Texas for a long time working the southern border. Just a no-nonsense man. He's the kind of guy that you know when you're around him that he's all business. And I think he's a prime example of God putting people in positions that no other person could do. And he is certainly no nonsense. In the first Trump administration, he was the acting ICE director, Immigration, Customs, and Enforcement. And he was charged by Trump this go around to deport the illegals, and he's doing a heck of a job.
Yeah, and yeah, basically he's standing up and just saying no, and this is what we're going to do. And I mean, he's a man's man from what I understand. I don't know a lot about him, but I sure like the stance that he's taken. And you know, he's just putting his foot down and saying no, this is the way that we're going to handle it, and we're going to kick some butt. But we got a caller on the line. Let's go to the phone lines. Hello, caller.
Good morning. Yeah, man. It's Kevin in Ohio.
Hey, Kevin.
Hey, Kevin. Thank you. There's a part in there that Trump has missed, and it's the woman in Colorado, Tina Peters.
Yep.
She should really be out of prison. It's been on my heart to call you men about this for weeks, and she just got swept under the rug.
Yeah, good point. Yeah, we need to be praying for her and praying for that to, you know, those deeds to be brought to light and for her to be released.
Yeah. And then it's been a history that when you go to war, like when I went to Nam, they dehumanize people. You know, everybody was a gook or a dink. And it's right to get, you know, to really go after the enemy, but they like to do that. And then in South Africa, in the Boer Wars, the English created the first concentration camps. You're aware of that, right?
Yes.
Yeah. They invented them. And I think England has been most atrocious for subjugating people around the world for way too long. And all of Europe is really just turned into a new USSR. That's what my take on them is. And thank you for all you do, gentlemen.
Well, thanks for calling, Kevin. Have a good day.
You too.
All right. And yeah, boy, the time's going by awful fast. Okay, so you were talking about Holman. Anything else that you wanted to add onto that, Will?
Yeah. The one thing that I would say is you go back and listen to any of the sound bites of this guy. They're very entertaining because he takes nothing off of anyone. And, he has made it clear from the beginning that he's not going to be intimidated by the media. He's not going to be, slowed up by the media, that he has a mission and that's what he's going to do. And, it's entertaining to watch him because it's true. I know recently, I think it was a week or so ago, he was at the New York State Capitol addressing the elected officials there on the dangers of being a sanctuary state and what potentially could happen there. And there was a huge group of leftist protesters, that were, waiting to yell at him and scream at him and spit at him. And, as he walked, he didn't choose to take a different route. He didn't choose any of that. He decided he was going to walk right through him. And when he did, he was eating an apple, smiling at him as he walked through. And to me, I think, there's some symbology there that he's, at the Big Apple eating an apple as he's walking through these people. And, I thought to myself of Pastor Peter Stones for Stone Kingdom. You know, it takes some stones to do that, and it makes me feel good that we have that kind of man that is willing to say no and take the slings and arrows and do the Lord's work. So I'm thankful for him.
Deuteronomy 31:6 says, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or in dread of them, for the Lord your God is the one who is going with you. He will not desert you or abandon you." And I think that that's something, I mean, that's something that reminds me of this man, but it's something that we all need to remember in our lives too. And he's the one that's in control. We talk about the things that we can do, and we need to be doing stuff. We need to be active. We need to be fighting, educating people, preparing. You know, every day that there's something that we need to be doing, whether it's, you know, praying for somebody, praying against something, praying against the, you know, the evils that we've seen that have crept into this land. And, you know, I'm really encouraged by a lot of the stuff that that we're seeing and we're talking about. I know that you could take it that I don't want anybody to take it that, you know, we're talking about these things for people to, we're not trying to promote fear, I guess is what I'm trying to say. We're not trying to promote that. We're not trying to, you know, give it any anything. I really don't believe that there's anything that we need to be fearing. To me, it's exciting. It's exciting. It's fun. It's a way of life. I don't know. Does that make sense?
Yeah, Jason, I think what we're trying to promote is the freedom of fear, the freedom from fear. And you do that by being right with our God. You do that by being prayed up and ready. You do that by being prepared up and ready. You do that by being trained up in the word of the Lord, physically ready. And when you have those things, you have your life right, your family right, you have your provisions right, and you are ready to meet what's to come. What are you afraid of? And to me, it should be very little. And so to me, that's what we're talking about. We're not talking about you know, run in your closet and hide from the boogeyman. We're saying the boogeyman doesn't affect me because I'm ready, one way or the other. And at the end of the day, as we've, you know, we've all been told and all thought to ourselves, you know, what's the worst they can do to us? And you're going to kill me and I spend eternity with the Lord? Okay. I guess it's just two ways of looking at the same coin. For me, it's not preaching fear. It's not fear porn. It's the admonition of be prepared for what's to come. And when you do that, you find freedom, and you find freedom from fear.
Very well put.
Well, we talked about this a little bit the other day. Isaiah 54:17 says, "No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and the righteousness of me, says the Lord." And it's not Amen. That there's not weapons formed against us. They're just not going to prosper. You know, that's when
right.
we point out these weapons, it's so you know what to pray against. It's so you are aware of the impending situation there. And possibly you can even take advantage of the results of that situation. But there are weapons out there that are being formed, but they're not going to prosper. They're not going to amount to anything, you know. So I think that, and that eliminates fear too. It's a promise. I mean, claim it.
Well, and it reminds me, and I think, and this is one that I shouldn't say it's one of the ones that I take real seriously, but it fits with what we're talking about, and I try to live by it. But it's Philippians 1:28, and it says, "In no way alarmed by your opponents, which is a sign of destruction for them, but of salvation for you, and that too from God." And praise God, because that's why we're not trying to promote fear. We're trying to promote faith. And it is, you know, it is a sign. When we do not fear them, it is a sign for their destruction. So praise God, because our God is a cause and effect kind of guy. And he is, and this is truth. And so I'll just leave it at that.
True to his word.
My one quick comment on that is, isn't it, when you stop and really look at it, doesn't it show that the enemy is actually afraid of us? When they are coming at us so strong, you know, they're you know, these leftist gun groups and the leftist judges that are coming against this agenda and all that, really what that shows is who is really afraid here. And it shouldn't be us. It's those workers of iniquity, those workers of evil. It's truly the enemy soldiers. That's who is obviously afraid right now.
Amen. It is. Otherwise, they wouldn't be fighting so hard against us and trying to use their their mudslinging contest and trying to label everybody with these names that actually used to have some power. And I think that they're losing their power. And that's exciting, too, because, you know, it used to be, well, when the ADL said something about somebody, everybody was like, oh, they must be a bad organization over there or something like that. Now when you hear, you know, oh, there's somebody, ADL says this about them, it's like, oh, okay, well, you know, they're probably some really good people over there. There's some good dudes over there. We better check them out and see what they got to say.
I think you're getting more and more people across the country when they're looking at the definitions of what these people supposedly are. They're saying, holy crap, that sounds like me. And I think more and more folks are realizing that, I fit in that category now.
Well, man.
Yeah, God's way is the default. Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
No, we're just out of time. So thanks for being here. And time goes by fast when you're having fun. Thanks, folks, for being here. And join us for church tomorrow by going to scripturesforamerica.org.
And I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse.